Graphic Audio. A movie in your ears. Graphic Audio presents James Axler's Deathlands. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Terrence Acil Ford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King Williams, Nanette Savard, Karen Carbone, David Coyne, Ken Jackson, Casey Jones, and Mort Shelby. Deathlands number 16, Moon Fate.
Previously on Deathlands.
Fighting against the powerful servo motors, he gripped the droid by its neck in his left hand, tucking his feet under it and kicking hard. Ryan heard ribs go as the robot clubbed its steel hammer into Zemyanyan's body. But it was already off the ground, unable to find any traction. With agonized effort, the Russian heaved the creature up and over the rail. Ryan never heard it hit the floor. The air was filled with the sound of other cables snapping as the aerial walkway broke apart, one end coming away and falling vertically. Above him, Dean was swinging like a live monkey, his arms and legs wrapped around a stanchion, saving himself from dropping. Ryan himself swung his right arm around a bent upright and felt it yield, then hold firm. But Zemyanyan was going. Badly injured, his right hand useless, he slid away after the vanished sectroid, gathering momentum, feet first. Ryan watched him, expecting to see him vanish over the jagged brink, but his left hand still functioned. Incredibly, the Russian swung there, hanging by the one hand from a frayed cable, unable to help himself up. For several breathless seconds, nobody spoke. A mile or so away, in the airless deeps of the old redoubt, a pair of crimson eyes clicked on in the blackness.
Will you let me fall, or will you help me to ascend?
No, Dad! I'll kill him!
Ryan glanced up, seeing the heavy automatic held in both hands.
You pull that trigger, and you could get thrown off.
I know that, Dad. My chance, I'll take it.
He is his father's son, is he not, Ryan Cotter?
Yeah, he is.
The round, pocked face stared up, a pale sphere in the gloom.
I would not want one so young to carry so heavy a burden.
A smile flashed across his face.
Goodbye, Calder. And your boy.
The hand opened, quite deliberately, and Major Commissar Grigory Zemyanyan fell to his doom. Nothing in his brutal life equaled the manner of his passing. The morning was scorching hot. There was a light wind carrying the sharp scent of sagebrush to their nostrils as they stood together, drawing in deep breaths of the New Mexico air. Now they were out of the claustrophobic depths of the ruined redoubt, only a few miles away from the homestead, where they could both have a good hot bath to wash away the stinking yellow taint of the sulfur and ease the exhaustion from their bruised bodies. Dean shaded his eyes as he stared across the land.
What's that, Dad?
A dust storm, or a...
Looks like smoke! Yeah, you can actually smell it. Smells like burned wood and kind of like charred meat.
The column of dark smoke rose and curled high above the desert until it vanished. It came from the direction of Jack and Christina's home. Ryan felt his heart tighten.
Come on, Dean. Best go take a look.
Behind them in the redoubt's heart, the walls of the silvery armor glass that formed the gateway chamber were beginning to fill with a pallid mist, and the disks in the floor and ceiling were starting to glow. Someone had triggered the Mat-Trans mechanism and was in the process of making a jump. Someone or something. The shadows shortened around Dean and Ryan as they soldiered on. Every now and then, the monotony of the plateau was broken by a towering saguaro, while the light breeze rustled among the dust-dry mesquite. The dark pillar of smoke grew thinner and faded, more like a hickory campfire.
Could be something caught fire on the stove.
Uh-huh.
It was close to noon when they drew near to Ridge's Edge. Once they were on the other side, they would see across the valley to the Lauren homestead.
What's that?
It's just a hawk, son. Don't worry. It isn't hungry for us.
Dean paused near the rim, 50 paces short of being able to see over it.
It's not the cooking stove, is it?
Maybe, son. Maybe not.
You think it's trouble?
I think it could be.
I've got to see!
Dean, stay clear of the skyline. Go down on all fours like I taught you.
Dean reached the edge. He stared at the fire a long time, then turned to face his father, who was walking steadily toward him.
It's not the cooking stove.
The land was shrouded in a shimmering curtain of haze, with the temperature well above the 100 mark. It was difficult to see clearly when outlines were blurred, but they could see well enough to realize that the smoke came from the spread owned by Jack and Christina Lauren. Ryan carried his 9mm P226 6 Sauer with a built-in baffle silencer. His son had a big Browning high power tucked into his belt. But Ryan knew that a couple of blasters weren't likely to prove much use against whatever it was that had attacked the fortified homestead and reduced it to smoldering ashes. Besides Christina and Jack, both well-armed, Ryan's other traveling companions, J.B. Dix, Christy Roth, Mildred Wyeth, and Doc Tanner, had all been there, with enough firepower among them to hold off a small army. The carters raced down the bluff and across the spread, and every step brought a more chilling certainty that evil had walked this way.
Stop here!
Most of the buildings were gone, including the large weatherboard barn. Part of its back still stood, splintered and black, the interior awash with smoke. The fences were down, and there was no trace of the livestock. From where they'd stopped, Ryan could see that the vegetable garden was trampled into rutted dirt. Worst was the house. Not one brick of the exterior or interior walls still stood. Every window was shattered. All that remained, like an accusing finger pointing toward the serene, cloudless sky, was the central chimney. Many months ago, Doc had enthralled them with stories of what he called the War Between the States. He claimed that he'd had an uncle, Washington Tanner, who'd fought on both sides in the Great Civil Conflict, who'd marched from Atlanta to the sea, watched Richmond burn, and had ridden with Quantrill, and known a famous outlaw, Jesse James. Washington Tanner had told his bright-eyed young nephew, Theo, about the ravaged land of Kansas, how houses were razed and families were butchered, and all that a man saw as he cantered across the state from dawn to dusk were the tall stone chimneys. That thought came to Ryan as he stood with his son and looked intently at the total ruin of a friend's dream.
We going on?
I'm going on. You're staying here. Watch my back. Yell if you see anything moving anyplace, all right?
Sure, Dad. You think that Jack, Christy, and...
Wait here.
The grinding tiredness of the days in the sulfur mines up north had taken their toll on Ryan. He stumbled over some uneven ground, realizing that he'd lost his concentration and had been walking mindlessly toward the ruins.
Fire blast.
He knew it was partly a reaction against the desolation that faced him. The thought of being home, eating well and sleeping, and making love to Christy, had filled his mind and kept him going. Now the earth had shifted beneath his feet, and he didn't know what to do.
The pause gave Ryan a chance to gather himself and his thoughts.
You okay?
Ryan waved a hand to the boy and moved on. Ryan wished he'd been a better tracker. The dirt all around was clearly trying hard to tell